Okay. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Hi. So, I'm preaching or teaching or whatever. I'm speaking on Hebrews 11 this morning. If you want to get your Bibles out and look it up, it's up to you, or you just want to listen to me and trust me. So last week we heard Murray and Carolyn speak on Hebrews 10, Christ's sacrifice once for all. So we just represented what we just did then with communion, Christ's sacrifice once and for all. Jesus is our high priest forever. This is what they reflected on last week. Who is our righteous king, and how he's seated on the right hand of the Father, right hand of God in heaven. And Jesus is our intercessor, which is a mediator between God and us. We have a call to persevere. We have confidence to enter in the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us our hearts sprinkle to cleanse us from all guilt, a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So I'll be continuing this message in Hebrews 11. What they ask, what scripture to grab? Well, there's a lot of scriptures in this chapter. So what jumped out in front of me was the word faith. So that's one of the most important words in the Bible is faith. Another word for faith is trust. So before we start, let's pray. So Lord, please reveal to us by your Holy Spirit the truth in this chapter, that we might learn the purposes of God in our lives, to apply to our lives, that we might be faithful in trusting you. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would speak to us while I share. In Jesus' name, amen. Last year, 2020, was a year of the shaking for the world in all areas of our stability, our health, our finances, which brought lots of fear. And fear was released in the world. We had to abide by rules. In Australia, we do anyway, but even more with lockdown in our free country, where the world had to stop and try and fix a problem globally with this pandemic, COVID-19. We all learned to Zoom that we'd never did before, on the computer, listening to sermons, speaking to our loved ones, which is owned by the Chinese, so watch it, okay? You have to watch Zoom because Chinese own the company. So did you know that? You know now. Don't be fearful. Maybe they'll come to the Lord listening to you. All right. So it's still continuing today in most of the big cities. And New Year's Eve, Sydney was in lockdown. It was really weird to watch the TV with the fireworks, with all the entertainment, but no feedback, going, yay, New Year's Eve, you know, all the, you know, atmosphere going with it. So all the things people worshipped have been stopped. Even they've pulled up the Sydney to Hobart yacht race after 76 years. No Hobart, Sydney to Hobart. Anyway, while I was reflecting on this chapter, the Lord woke me up with a scripture yesterday morning. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this is Jesus speaking. This is his promise that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. This is written in John 14:6. So faith is based upon the truth of God. Faith is the root promise of God. It also, in John 14, tells us, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust in me and have faith. So that's in John 14. Jesus is still seated on the throne. He's still in the right hand of God. He is forever. Whatever happens in this world, he is for us, not against us. I looked in the dictionary what faith means. It means trust and confidence in someone or something, hope, expectation, dependence, optimism, belief. So what does faith mean to a Christian? Christians find their security and hope in God as revealed in Jesus Christ. And say amen to that. Unique relationship to God and the Holy Spirit through love and obedience as expressed in the lives of discipleship and service. In verse 1 of Hebrews we read, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So it is, we can't see faith, but we hope for faith. We hope that God is with us. He is the promises. He is our faith. We believe in him, even though we can't see him. We have faith in him. In the second verse, it reflects the elders and ancients were commended for. This talks about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Daniel, or the rest of them, all the patriarchs of the Old Testament. The prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised. By this, the elders and patriarchs received a testimony and was pleased by God because they waited on the Lord. They waited on God and they had a relationship with him and they were righteous before God and they pleased God. So Abel was righteous. He made the right offering that pleased God. Abel was murdered by his brother Cain. Sibling rivalry. Anyway, sorry, I shouldn't say that. But his blood still speaks today, even though he is dead, it says that in the word, because he was faithful to God. In verse 3, by faith we accept jointly together in Genesis. God began creation. In order by faith we believe the word of God. Things were not seen. God spoke into creation. The word came into being. As he spoke, the earth was created. So in faith we believe that he created the earth because it's written. In verse 5, Enoch walked with God. Enoch means dedication. God took him aside into heaven before he was taken. He was commended as pleasing to God. Enoch never died. He was like, beam me up, Scotty. God took him up to heaven, like, you know, and he never died. So then in Hebrews 7, it speaks of Jesus like Melchizedek. Melchizedek, who was from the tribe of Judah in the Old Testament. He was a priest and he's from the tribe of Judah. Mel, M-E-L-C-H-I, means king, and Zedek means righteousness. So I'm going to talk about the priesthood here. So in the Old Testament, it was set up as an Aaronic by Aaron, the tribe of Aaron, priesthood, which was, from the tribe of Levi, the Levitic tribe. So there was a change in the priesthood when Jesus became a priest. So when Jesus became our high priest, there was a change in the priesthood. Not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of the instructable life, Christ's priesthood eternal. So the priesthood went through a change, and this taught us that he took the Levitical the Levites' priesthood outlined to the gospel that God brings to perfection. This is Messiah, Jesus' priesthood. So by faith, Enoch sat together with God, and he was pleasing to God with intimacy with God. Enoch was a forerunner for Jesus, and we have perfect faith to live in such a way that God is a rewarder of good deeds, are eternal. And the one who walks with God is the one pleasing to God. Also, God was speaking to me about Jesus when John the Baptist, Jesus went to him to be baptized at the Jordan. The Jordan River represents change. The Israelites crossed over into the promised land, and there was a change because they crossed over. So that's why Jesus went to John at the River of Jordan, because he was about to change the priesthood forever as he was baptized. And also he went to John because his father was Zechariah, the high priest. So John was the next high priest in the order of the Aaronic tribe, the priesthood, before Rome put into power Caiaphas. So Rome put Caiaphas in power when Jesus was crucified and condemned. So he wasn't from that line. He was just put there by the Romans. So that God spoke to me about that. I didn't realise that, but you know, that's what I learnt there. So it was very powerful to see that Jesus, he's the new priest, the high priest. And John was his cousin, but John was from that line of the old priesthood of Aaron, so he was the only one that could baptise him and change. Hope that makes sense. Talk to me later. Okay, so we'll talk about now Noah. Noah had holy fear towards God. Now Noah built an ark because God warned him that he was going to destroy the earth and judge the world. So everyone thought Noah was crazy because he built this huge ark all his life. But he believed in the inheritance of righteousness. He obeyed God. He was faithful. And faith produces obedience. So when we're faithful to God in obedience, righteousness, he believes in God and what he has said because he was in relationship with him. Also, in verse 8, it talks about Abraham. Abraham was called by God, not knowing where he was going. But he believed that God would guide him. He moved him out into the promised land. He obeyed God to receive the inheritance. By faith, he dwelled in the land of promise, and he dwelt in a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a tent, and it means dwelling place. And it's an example of eternity. So when we die, we can dwell with the Lord in heaven. That's what tabernacle means. So a promise is a statement that comes from God that cannot lie. So the Bible is full of God's promises to us. So this makes a promise to us for a purpose, for motivation and for encouragement, for us to go and walk with God, walk with him. So by faith, in Hebrews 11, 29 to 39, the Old Testament figures of faith acted in hope and obedience. They performed miracles. They received strength in battle and endured trials and tribulations. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. They did not receive the promise in verse 39, but all this took place before Christ. Their faith was based on something they believed God would do in the future. And now Christ has come, and the hope has answered the prophecies fulfilled and promised received. So Jesus has fulfilled those promises and prophecies. Faith is needed. It is ongoing, confident reliance on God. God is faithful when we are faithless. Can you think of faithfulness of God in your life? Think about that. What testimonies can you share of his faithfulness? Do you have a kind of faith that will affect others? I can think of many testimonies of God's faithfulness in my life. When I stepped out in obedience, he makes a way and provides the things needed at the time. Just like when he called me to pick up the community kitchen for a season, he provided help and the food under the budget to feed over 60 people most of the time. He has been very faithful to me in prayer. He answers prayers, and I am very thankful for his faithfulness to me. When I am faithless to him, what do you believe in, church? Do you believe you only have a mustard seed of faith to move a mountain into the sea? With all the uncertain in the world, please remember who loves you and watches over you. Remember to look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Read his word. Spend time with him. He is longing to have a relationship with you. Will you let him? Now, I've got some more scriptures on faith. Let's look at faith and unbelief. I've got some scriptures here. In Luke 18:8, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. In Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In Hebrews 1:1, it says, now, we spoke about this, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In 1 James 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it not accompanied by actions, is dead. So we have to walk in what we believe in. We have to step out in what God has promised us in his word. So in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. I've already said that, sorry. And in 1 John 5:4, it says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Faith in Christ, that everyone that believes in him will have eternal life. John 3:36. John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over death to life. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. In John 12:46, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So these are just a few scriptures of God's truth and promises for those who believe. It's good to hang on to and believe and hold on to the promises of God. Now, I'm just going to share a little testimony of my life. You probably know, I'm not sure, but I just felt led that the Lord wanted me to share this morning. My trust was destroyed by not trusting man. As a teenager, I was abused and by someone I trusted who I was married. I was hurt and abused as a teenager by someone I trusted who was married into our family. I became very insecure and fearful of men, and Satan put that fear in me. Then I had many relationships that didn't last because I didn't trust. And I was waiting for them to fail. I couldn't get close to the people. I had put a wall up. When I met my first husband in 1980-something, I married him after 5 years. He betrayed me. He had an affair and left me. The rejection was very painful at the time. Then I had come back to Jesus a year before. I put my trust into his hands. I prayed for reconciliation, but he was not a Christian and he didn't understand. what I was like. He'd made his mind up and he moved. As I prayed to God for reconciliation, he showed me a verse in the Bible about if you're married a non-believer, he is covered by you. But if he wants to leave, let him go. So that's what I did. I trusted God and I let him go. That was very painful. But and at this time of the pain in my life, I was going through an illness, a lady's problem, endometriosis. It causes infertility. So that gave, he thought, oh, well, he can just play the field because he couldn't have a child. So he was infertile also. So basically the doctors told me I could never have children. So it was a pretty down time. But I hung on to Jesus. I came back to him. And my friends were supporting me. And I met Peter, my second husband, through a blind date. And he had a little boy who just turned 2 called Micah. He'd lost his wife when Micah was 6 months old. So the rest is history. But I had to trust God with all my pain, surrender my life to him. It was so... I gave Peter such a hard time. He still hung around. He's tough as nails, this fella. He's very resilient. It took faith in Christ to walk through the fear, walk through the rejection. And my heart was healed by Jesus through the healing and the journey. I forgave my ex-relative and my ex-husband. I forgave them. I released them into God's hands. And I just felt so free because I chose to forgive. Because Jesus forgave me on the cross. He died so I might live and be free. I am grateful and thankful Jesus' love. And he loves you all. He loves you just the way you are right now. We're all on a journey. We have to trust Jesus step by step, knowing he is with me and he's with everyone who believe. And who doesn't believe, he's still there waiting for them to come. So he's with you every step of the way. So I'll just finish in prayer. I'm just trying to find where I've put it. So, Lord Jesus, we just surrender this message to you. And, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts that are here right now. Help them to receive your love, your promises. Help them to walk each step of the way with you, Lord. In this new year, we just pray for this new year, Lord, 2021, that we may spend time with you and walk with you and be obedient to your call that you have called us. Thank you, Jesus, that you just love us so much and you accept us for who we are. Lord, just bless these people here and pour your love upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. And if anyone wants prayer, just come and see the leaders and we'll pray for you. If you want to, it's up to you. The Holy Spirit continue to work in your heart. And I hope God will just bless you the rest of the week. And also we have a cup of tea. If you want to hang around for a cuppa, you're welcome. Bless you, church.